Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Easter weekend to all of you here today. Good to see you. I'm glad you could be here. Well, I'd like to start today with prayer, and then we'll get right into our message about Christ is risen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you hear and answer prayers for us. And so today, Father, we're asking that you would send your Holy Spirit to teach us more about what Jesus has done for us. And help us, Father, in our heart to appreciate it more and more each day. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You see in the scriptures in Acts chapter 23, verse 8, where in Acts chapter 23, verse 8, that the Sadducees, they did not believe that there was a resurrection. They didn't believe in the angels or the spirit. And the Pharisees confessed that they believed in all of those things. And this was a real contention between these groups of people, that one believed one way, one believed another. We have those kind of things all the time in situations where one group believes this and another group believes that. And the thing that we need to do, and I believe, is to go to the scriptures and ask, what does God believe? You think that's a good policy? Because, you know, in our human thinking, we all have interests, desires, an understanding of certain things, and they don't always match up with everybody else. That's human. And I think it's normal for us to all have a different opinion or different ideals. And here we see a classic example of this, where the Sadducees and the Pharisees claimed to love God, but yet they believed differently in how God interacted with his people. And we know that if we will study the scriptures and look at the scripture evidence, that we could all be on the same page. And that's what God wants for all of us. Do you believe that? So I think that if we're not studying, it's easy for us to get off on a tangent and believe a lot of things that we like that appeal to us. But we don't often study the scriptures diligently, praying that God's Holy Spirit will reveal to us the truth of his word so that we can all be in believing the same thing. And I believe it's important for us to believe the same thing. It's important for us to understand the scriptures for our own self. And the resurrection of Christ is remembered, I think, by millions of people, probably billions of people around the world. It's brought to the attention of every man, woman, and child, it seemed like, around the world at this time of year. Many people were thinking about what Christ has done and what he has represented to the world and about the resurrection. We have this word Easter. You know that word Easter, it appears in the Bible only one time. Are you aware of that? Oh, you didn't know that. Okay. Well, in Acts, not in 1 Corinthians. I'm looking at the wrong thing. In Acts, it talks about the Easter program, and it talks about Easter. And it only says this one time in all of the scriptures. And God wants us to understand what the resurrection is all about. And in Acts chapter 12, at verse number 4, it says, when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quartorians of soldiers to keep him, intending that after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, when you go back to the Greek language, you understand, if you look in your concordance and you look this word Easter up, there's only one reference in all of the scriptures of this word. And the word in Greek is Pascha, which means Passover, right? And so when the translation was being done back in the 16th century, there were some things that were put into that translation that really was not in the original text. The original text uses the word Pascha and not Easter. And you look at Easter, it doesn't always coincide with the Passover season. You think about that. Now, during the Council of Nicaea in AD 325, Easter was fixed on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. However, the Passover was to be celebrated on Nisan 14. Okay, so those two dates don't always come at the same time. Now you think about this. Christmas always comes on the 25th of December, isn't that true? But it always comes at a different day each year. It's always December 25th, but it could come on any day of the week. So the Catholic Church changed the celebration of Easter or Passover, communion. They celebrated this Easter season on the first Sunday after the full moon, after the vernal equinox. Passover was set up to be celebrated on Nisan 14. Those 2 days are different from each other. And it created a lot of havoc within the church in Christendom years ago. It caused the Catholic Church to split, and then we had the Orthodox Catholic Church. As a result of that, they did not want to be under the rulership of the ruling popes, and they did not want to celebrate Easter in the way that the Church of Rome had set it up. They wanted to stick to what God had already originated on Nisan 14. And we see that the celebration of this festival was once a year in honor of Christ's resurrection. And we know that because we just read some of the scripture here in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. The Passover lamb was this sacrifice for a remembrance of what God had done to liberate the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt. And then Jesus, as he was making this sacrifice as the Lamb of God, who was to sacrifice once for the entire world, and once Jesus had made that sacrifice, there was no longer a need to sacrifice those ceremonial things that they had been doing according to the Passover, and Jesus instituted the communion service in place of that. Because that communion service, and Jesus being the Lamb of God, he represented the freedom that he gave us from the bondage of sin. The Passover lamb was a memorial to the freedom God had given and their exodus from Egypt. And also Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary is a memorial for each one of us about how Jesus liberated us from the bondage of the devil had put us under. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. So we're free people today because of that. Not just because we live in the land of the free in America, but we're free because of Jesus. Isn't that true? Yeah, he set us free from the bondage the devil has put us under, and we no longer have to live like people that are in bondage. We can live as free people, living in liberty under Christ Jesus. And that's what the resurrection helps us to remember, that Christ died for our sins and to set us free from the bondage the devil had us under. There's a lot of things that we'd like to try and correct in our life. There's some things that we think that maybe we could heal ourselves, and there are people who have tried it a lot. We have a sin-sick soul, and that's just the reality. No matter how hard we try to be holy and righteous and good, the reality is that we're weak, sinful human beings, and we need Jesus every day. Amen. And we need Jesus to help us with the weaknesses that all of us have. And it's different for everybody. But sometimes we try to heal ourselves instead of allowing Jesus to do that with us. And oftentimes you see people trying to get through the damages that the devil has done in their life, and you see them trying to eat themselves to wellness. You see them trying to take drugs to try to get rid of all of the guilt complexes that they have, or all kinds of risky behaviors into alcohol. I mean, you name it, there's all kind of multitude of things that people get caught up in trying to help alleviate how they feel about themselves and what their past has been like. The only way to get true healing, friends, from the inside out is by having Jesus, the Prince of Peace, living right here. Amen. We need to have Christ in our life, and that's the only way we can get the healing that we are longing for. The resurrection of Jesus is an absolute miracle, friends. It's different from every other miracle that was ever happening in the world. Jesus is the fact of his resurrection is what established the Christian church. Do you know that? That's what the Christian church was built on. And there are many people today who think that when they die, they go straight to heaven, which really short-circuits the resurrection, the hope that we have. This was the basic foundation belief of the Christian church, that they didn't believe exactly the way God wanted them to. When Jesus died, their hopes were gone. In fact, when you look at the two men who were walking to the road of Emmaus and they met Jesus, they were downtrodden. They were depressed and discouraged because the one they thought was going to come to Jerusalem and liberate them from the bondage that the Romans had them under, they were discouraged because they thought Jesus was going to be that liberator. They didn't understand that Jesus came there to liberate them from sin, from the bondage of the devil. Their minds were really narrow. And they were just looking at the immediate situation. And they didn't look at the big picture that Jesus died on the cross for all humanity, for all time, to eliminate sin in the life of every human being. And Jesus came and he died, and the resurrection was to help establish the church. And it solidified the belief. When the people saw Jesus resurrected, it solidified their belief in him as the liberator, and also it started the church as a sure foundation. The resurrection of Christ gave these disciples this proof that they needed, that they were on the right track, that they were doing the right thing, that they're believing the right thing. You look in Romans chapter 1, if you'll turn with me there. In Romans chapter 1, we see there that Jesus solidified this for him. And Paul was talking about this. In Romans chapter 1, at the beginning of verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You see, this helped to solidify for the disciples that Jesus really was who he said he was, the Messiah, and that the church that he had established was the real church that they needed to support. It was by believing this, by believing the prophecies of the Old Testament and seeing it fulfilled in Christ Jesus, that it gave them the power and the encouragement they needed to go forth in the communities and share the gospel to the world. And as they did that, friends, people's lives were changed. And no matter how much the early believers might have loved the dead Jesus that died on the cross of Calvary, their hopes were dashed as a result of that. But the resurrection gave them a renewed hope. And I hope, friend, that today as you think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it will renew a hope in your heart. You see, people don't die and go straight to heaven. They don't do that. Because that discounts the resurrection that Jesus Christ has offered to us. Because the scriptures are clear that if Jesus didn't resurrect, then you and I have no hope. And that means that if Jesus didn't have a resurrection, then you and I will never have one either. That when we die, that's the end of life for all of us. There is more to life than just living here today. Amen. A lot more. And God has promised us a new life with him up in heaven for eternity. The resurrection is different from all the other miracles in the sense that it's the foundation of the institution of the church that Jesus had established in the New Testament. Not only do we have documentary proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we also have documents that are written centuries before of the resurrection that was going to take place in Jesus Christ. This is a remarkable union, I think, of what the Old Testament prophecies had to say and what the New Testament actually shows us was fulfilled. It is a fulfillment of all those things that God had talked about. In Psalms chapter 16, in verses 8 through 11, in Psalm 16, beginning at verse number 8, it talks about some of those prophecies of predicting of Jesus' resurrection. In Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11, it says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You see, there's a prophecy saying that Jesus was not going to stay in the tomb of Joseph forever. His bones wouldn't lay there and rot, because our Savior is not a dead God. Our Savior, our God, our Messiah is a living God in heaven. He was resurrected, and we can have hope in this, that if Jesus was resurrected, friends, it gives you and I encouragement and hope today that someday soon, no matter if we're alive or dead, there will be a resurrection. Amen. And I hope and pray that all of us will be there to see that. There's going to be two resurrections. The righteous will be in the first one. 1,000 years later, there'll be another resurrection. And I hope that none of us sleep through the first one. Amen. I hope that all of us are alive to see Jesus come back, because when he comes back, there'll be a resurrection. And everyone who has died trusting in Jesus and loving him will come back to life, just as Lazarus did. And they will be able to see the return of Jesus for themselves. Peter himself said in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, he says, "And seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. And this Jesus hath raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses." They were witnesses to the fact that Jesus came back to life. That was a miracle that they had never seen before in their age. They hadn't seen this kind of thing, where Jesus, where all their hopes were, had been dashed and killed and died on the cross of Calvary, and yet he came back to life, and that gave them the encouragement and hope for the future that they needed. Listen, they were going through some difficult times. They were going to go through some times that were even more trying and difficult than what they were facing. In fact, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as a light unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Jesus fulfilled the scriptures of prophecy completely. I know you think about that. I know there are people that I've heard in times past, and I won't mention their name, maybe you've heard them, that they said that that Jesus died on Wednesday. Excuse me, but Jesus could not have been the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world and fulfilled prophecy to the T exactly as God had said it should be in the Old Testament. Jesus could not have done that if he had not died on Friday, Nisan 14. You see, in that year, Nisan 14 came on a Friday. Nisan 15 was a Sabbath, and he rested in the grave. Nisan 16 was a Sunday, and he resurrected 3 days he were in the grave. Now, somebody might say, well, as we think about 3 days and three nights in the grave, that has to be a full, complete 24-hour period of time. But in the Jewish reckoning of time, they have this policy that they follow, and that is that any part of a day is considered a whole day. And so when Jesus was put in the tomb on Friday, he rested in the grave. He rested in the grave on Saturday, and he rested on the grave on part of Sunday, and then was resurrected. 3 days he was in the grave. And I believe that what the prophecy tells us about Jesus is absolutely true. You know, we sing this song, "The Church Has One Foundation." You remember that song? And it's true. The foundation is not your pastor. The foundation is not the elders and the disciples that were in the church long before us. The foundation is Jesus Christ. That's what the church was built upon. He is the rock of ages that solidified the church itself. In Nisan 14, there was the slaying of the Passover lamb. This lamb had to be done according to the Passover requirements. And Jesus fulfilled that requirement as the Passover lamb for each one of us. And he died on Nisan 14. And then we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the 15th of Nisan. And then on the 16th of Nisan, we have the first fruits that were to be offered. Now, at that time of the year in the spring, the barley was just getting ripe. And the people would bring some of the sheaves of barley to the priest, and the priest would stand before the altar and wave these sheaves of barley before the altar in thanksgiving to the God for the great ripening of the grain, for the blessing of the harvest. And they could not begin to harvest the barley until the priest had already given this offering to the Lord. So on the 16th of Nisan, which is around March, April, Jesus himself was the first fruit offered for you and I. Isn't that true? It is true. And Jesus Christ is our Passover. And the firstborn, having preeminence, the beginning of strength, he was the highest in rank. He reminds us constantly that he is our Savior. And every time we come to church to worship God, we're reminded of how much God loves us by giving us his Son, Jesus Christ. It is this time of the year, friends, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that fulfills prophecy, and it gives us this unanswerable proof of the truthfulness of God's word, that the prophecies that were spoken in Old Testament times were actually fulfilled in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And that should give us encouragement, friends, that if God kept his promise in the Old Testament, he's going to keep it in your time and mine. Amen. There will be a resurrection of all those who sleep trusting in Jesus. I think that this resurrection changes the face of the world. It gives us hope in our heart that someday soon Jesus will come back, the Jesus who is alive and ministering for us up in the heavenly courts above. In John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, he's speaking to Mary and Martha about the death of their brother Lazarus. And he says, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Now you talk about this being, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And if he believes in me, he shall never die. Does that mean that we have immortality inside of us and that we never can pass away? I don't think that's what God's saying. What it's talking about here is the eternal death, where there is no hope of resurrection. This is what Jesus is saying, that if we were dead, yet shall he live. In other words, if we have died in the body, we can live again through the resurrection that Jesus offers us. But if we don't believe in him, we will die, and there'll be no resurrection. There'll be no hope for us if we don't believe in Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's a lot of people that travel down a different path. There are a lot of people that say a lot of different things, that no matter how you live your life, no matter what has transpired in your life, all you have to do is believe and confess Jesus' name, and you're saved forevermore. And there are some people that believe that as soon as you die, you go straight to heaven. Your reward is already there. Then why doesn't people just en masse kill themselves? I'd rather live in heaven than down here, wouldn't you? I mean, if that was true, let's take it to its logical fulfillment. Let's just everybody kill themselves like they did with Jim Jones over in the jungle. The reality is that not what Jesus is saying? If we have lived our life for Jesus Christ, friends, then we have this hope burning in us, no matter if we're alive or dead, there will be a resurrection. Jesus Christ will come back, and he will take us to the place that he's promised to all those who have loved him.
Amen.
That's right. There's going to be a resurrection. Jesus, who laid down his life in his human form, he took it up again so that he could give to all of humanity this eternal life that he offers to us. We don't have it. It's not inherent in our being. It is a gift that God gives to all of the faithful down through the ages. He gives that to us at his second coming. The scripture of Revelation is clear. That when Jesus comes back, he will give us this gift, this reward of eternal life with him in heaven. We don't have it yet. I wish we did, but we don't. We have the promise that God will keep his word. We, by faith, believe that God will keep his word. And we live our life by faith, doing those things that God has asked us to do. We combine our faith with our actions, and we combine God's power to help get us through. We need God's grace to do that. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." In John chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." In John chapter 6, verse 54, Jesus said, "Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." To the believer, death is just a small matter. It's just a time for us to lay down and go to sleep. If we believe Jesus and we have lived our life for him, if we trust in him by faith, there's coming a time, friends, when you and I will be able to see Jesus face to face. I look forward to that day, don't you? When we can actually see Jesus for ourselves. But there's also another second resurrection that's going to take place. The first resurrection are for the righteous. The second resurrection will be for those who have not trusted and loved Jesus. There's coming a time when all those who have loved Jesus are going to have to sleep, it seemed like. I may not be alive when Jesus comes back. I can't tell. I don't know. I know I'm not going to live forever on this earth in this life form. But there's coming a time when Jesus will come back and give me eternal life. I hope and pray for that every day. And I hope and pray that you have that burning in your heart too, that someday soon, Jesus will come back and give you the reward of eternal life. He wants us to be with him. But sleep is nothing more than just death. That's how Jesus describes it. That's how the Old Testament described it. That people who go to the grave are sleeping until the first or second resurrection, whichever one suits their situation. I've noticed, and I've seen it in Scripture, that oftentimes God tells us one thing. This is how I want you to live. This is what I want you to believe and to do. And yet there are sometimes people say, well, I hear what you're saying, God, but I really like it this way. And I believe this, and I want to do this. And you know what God says? Well, go ahead. Have at it. Do whatever you want, right? Enjoy it. But you're going to suffer the consequences. Yeah. God will honor the decisions that we make, but the consequences follow that, okay? So if we make bad choices, what comes of that? Bad results. Yeah, it always follows. It's true. It never changes. You cannot get good results out of bad decisions. You make a good choice and you got good results. That's how that works. And if you don't choose Jesus, who says he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but him, if you don't choose Jesus, you've made a bad choice. And only bad things can happen from that. And when we choose Jesus, friends, we're choosing life. And that's what God wants us to do today. Listen to this on Desire of Ages, page 786, 787. Ellen White writes this. She says, "The voice that cried from the cross, 'It is finished,' was heard among the dead. It pierced the walls of sepulchers and summoned the sleepers to arise. And thus will it be when the voice of Christ shall be heard from heaven. That voice will penetrate the graves and open the tombs, and the dead in Christ shall arise. At the Savior's resurrection, a few graves were opened. But at his second coming, all the precious dead shall hear his voice and shall come forth to glorious immortal life. The same power that raised Christ from the dead will raise his church and glorify it with him above all principalities, above all powers, above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come." How many echo Mary's despairing cry, "They have taken away my Lord, and we know not where they have laid him." How many might the Savior's words be spoken to us? "Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" He's close beside you today, friend. He's here with you as you worship him. He's here and is able to discern what is in your heart today. He knows how to speak to you. And if we will speak to him and carry all of our burdens to him, he has the power and the strength and the desire to lift our burdens and draw us to him. We do not need to misunderstand him. He has plainly stated his will for your life and mine in his word. Desire of Ages, Ellen White writes this on page 794. She says, "Oh, that the bowed head might be lifted, that the eyes might be opened to behold him, that the ears might listen to his voice. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen. Bid them look not to Joseph's new tomb, that was closed with a great stone and sealed with the Roman seal. Christ is not there, friends. He's up in heaven ministering to all of his people. He's up there praying for each one of you today, hoping and praying that all of the people of this world that he loves so much will come to him and accept what he has provided for them in his death, burial, and resurrection. That is the gospel message that God wants to be preached around the world today. As people's hearts and minds are focused on Easter, the bunny rabbit, and colored eggs, and all kinds of other stuff that's going on, God wants us to focus on the real meaning of Easter, and that is Pascha. And that means the Passover lamb. God wants us to focus on Jesus. He lives to make intercession for every one of us today, friends. He wants us to be sure of our salvation. He is the anchor for your soul and mine today. Amen. Believe, and thou shalt see the glory of the Lord. Believe, and you will see God. Have faith in God. Christ died for you and me. Have faith in God. His cross will make us free. Have faith in God, the risen Christ, to see. Have faith, dear friend, in God.